So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them, the gospel said, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. I sort of felt bad making Dale read that as the Easter gospel. We aren't used to fear, I don't think, most of us. Depends where you live, not in this country, unless you happen to be one of those who pick movies so they will frighten you, or unless sickness or hunger wait at your door, or life has taken some other hard turn. Fear we aren't used to necessarily, but it is there. We aren't used to death. We try to avoid it, but of course it happens. We aren't used to this ending of the Gospel of Easter. I suspect that most of us are used to Jesus meeting Mary Magdalene in the garden and him greeting her, his old friend. Jesus walking the road to Emmaus with some of his friends. Jesus appearing to his disciples. We aren't used to this one, with those faithful followers of Jesus fleeing for terror and amazement and saying nothing to anyone, for they are afraid. But the ending's there. It's in the Bible, as they say. I don't know about you, but this cold April 1st, I would sort of like to meet Jesus and then go find some friends and celebrate Easter in the garden. Sounds good, doesn't it? But not today. In our lives, some days it is not quite that simple. It is April Fool's Day, and sometimes it's just the way it goes. Life isn't simple. Part of our lives, too, are hard days and times of confusion. But in that case, still then, and even more so, there is a word of promise for us in this gospel. For both the women who came to the tomb expecting death and whose friend was gone, and to us who come to this church expecting life, the answer is the same. Don't be afraid. Jesus is raised. Don't be afraid. You will see him. You will see him. You will see him when you go back to where life is for you. For them, it was Galilee. For us, it might be South St. Vital or back halfway across the country where we came from before we came to visit family. Or maybe it will be to our parents or grandparents for lunch and then on to work. I don't know where we're going. But the point is, in today's gospel and in life, we are reminded to go back to life and watch and look. And when we do, we will see. In the Gospel of Mark, if you've ever read it all the way through, there seem to be endless stories of Jesus' followers not really having a clue. Not a clue about who he is or what they're invited to be part of or how to proceed. You could look at it sometime. It happens quite a lot. And in spite of all the ways that they sort of miss Jesus' hope and God's kingdom, still over and over, the risen life of God is presented. God's life given isn't saved for the end of the gospel, a resurrection appearance by Jesus at his tomb, but it turns up all the way along. Peter's mother-in-law healed and raised to standing so she could care for the people around her. Someone who was paralyzed, physically lifted up by his friends and lowered through the roof, raised and lowered through the roof so that Jesus could raise him to walking. Levi, the tax collector, leaving his money and rising to follow Jesus, God even bringing about growth as people go through those ordinary rhythms of sleeping and rising and sleeping and rising. Jesus calming a storm after he rises from sleep, a little girl who was close to death rising to new life. And even that day, just prior to Jesus' death, him inviting his followers to rise to go meet Judas, who was there with a crowd with clubs. It's a little repetitive, maybe, but you get the idea. Rising to new life is something that goes on and on. In the Gospel of Mark, the resurrection isn't a single event proved by that physical presence of Jesus right at that time, someone we can grasp onto and hold and take with us. It is event after event that happens when we pause to take a look, when we look back and reflect on life and wonder. Christ is risen, and he meets us in our world, in our lives, in the hope that exists right here and now, even if you might not feel it. And in a way, that is the way the new life that God gives at Easter is for us as well. I don't know how many times in life I have heard people tell stories of how, looking back, they saw that God was there in this or that. That God walked with them, perhaps, or gave them strength, or gave them a friend just when they needed one. They are ordinary stories. You probably hear them too. But they are profound. Over the last month or so, we've watched kids from the States stand up to the system which they are convinced sells guns which will inevitably kill their friends or someone else's friends. And they keep coming and standing and speaking. Change comes, change falters, change retreats. We all know that. But hope lives. Here in Canada, over the last few years, we have heard all sorts of people talking and listening and working for reconciliation. Change comes and falters and retreats, but hope lives. I heard a story recently about a woman whose life was perfect, if you can say that. Her house was clean, everything was spotless, and she got cancer. And in the midst of the terrible days of that disease, the story went, her house was invaded by neighbors who brought food to feed her family, and the kids that her own kids went to school with each drew a picture with a prayer on it, and one of their teachers scotch taped them all to the wall in the kitchen. A terrible mess. Her husband brought her a kitten, which of course shed everywhere, but sat on her for endless hours, a purring ball of warmth. Her cancer, as it turned out, went into remission. And she's healed for now, though, of course, one never knows, right? But she is more convinced that she was healed in other ways. There's an appreciation of life, a deep appreciation of life and all of its imperfection and all of its beauty that was not there before. She can't even remember quite what it was like to think of life in the categories that she used to, the black and white, the separation. In a sense, her perfection died with her cancer. And in the midst of those terrible days, as this story went, she is now convinced that she was raised to new life. Life which celebrates life. I don't know if she would call it a gift of God, but to learn to celebrate life like that, I think we could call it that. A gift of God, to know life when we see it, every bit of life, every flower, every carnation that falls and whacks you on the head, every little child, every laugh shared between friends or strangers, even in the midst of fear and struggle. Really, we all learn about life in different ways at different times. Life and hope, new life breathed by God when death was close, not just in cancer, but in all sorts of ways in our world. These cold days, winter clings to our world. Snow keeps it frozen, but today is Easter. Christ is risen, the tomb is empty, and Jesus' followers are going two by two or three by three or one by one back to Galilee to see where they will see him. And we are too. None of us know where Christ will turn up in our lives or our school or our house or our city or world. But whatever coldness is there, whatever fear, in a while it will be gone. The tulips will rise, hope will rise, and hope will live, and God's life within our hearts and world, in all sorts of ways we might not expect, will be there. Christ is risen. Alleluia.